Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Upcoming series, you're going to hear many more stories that we're excited about. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith to remove mountains, without charity, it profits me nothing. And though I give all my money to feed the poor and give my body to be burned, without charity, it means nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, it vaunteth not its own self, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's just a little piece, paraphrase from the King James Version of 1 Corinthians 13 that I memorized as a fifth grader in our missionette program. Now it's called our girls program. And I went over those scriptures over and over again because I had a teacher that, I'm telling you, we had to do everything in the King James Version. And if you missed an and, the, but, it didn't matter. She'd just smile at you and say, "I'll see you next Wednesday." And I would have to go over it all over again. And I think the good thing about that is I got 1 Corinthians 13 deep in my heart. And let me tell you this, what it taught a fifth grader is that love is a big deal. And love is hard. Love is patient. It's kind. It's not jealous. It doesn't envy. There's so many attributes like, wow, love is hard. And then get this, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned. Now, those are pretty big works, aren't they? I've never done either of those things. And yet, if you did that without love, it would profit you nothing? Whoa, even as a fifth grader, this kind of made sense to me, that love is a pretty big deal, and it's pretty hard to achieve. Wouldn't you say that? Our series that we're wrapping up today has been about relationships. And as we know, relationships wrap around and revolve around this concept of love. It was so important as Jesus was walking around. He quoted the greatest commandment many times as he was here on this earth. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And then this, the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. My husband will always say the kingdom of God is established in relationship, and that relationship centers around this kind of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. You will see that is actually in the New Testament 8 times. We see it with the rich young ruler. We see it multiple times as Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about loving our neighbors through marriage, through friendships, through coworkers. What does it mean to be in relationship and love the people around us well? But today, we are going to take just a couple little words out of that command, love your neighbor as yourself. And we are going to be audacious enough tonight to talk about being in relationship with our own self, loving ourself. Now, you introverts out there are thinking, praise the Lord, I am my best friend. And so, really, I'm trying to love all you people, but really my favorite place is just me, myself, and I. Those of us who might be a little more extroverted, we enjoy relationships with other people, but our introvert friends really get this well. But if we really think about it, we do spend the majority of our time with ourselves. Now, I'm just going to ask if you can raise your hand if you've ever heard of the Enneagram. All right, 7 of us, that's good. Okay? The Enneagram is a new personality test, and as we're going to be talking today about loving ourselves and getting to know ourselves and being in relationship with ourselves, I may talk a little bit about the Enneagram. I'm actually a number 9, which is called the peacemaker. The interesting thing about my personality is that's a biblical principle of peacemaking. The problem with that is if not transformed by the gospel, you can be a people pleaser, and instead of being angry with others, you're angry in your own head. We can't win. My mom, who's sitting in the back, she has no idea what number she is because she's never heard of the Enneagram, but I just told her what she is because I know her super well. I said, Mom, you're a 7. Guess what they say about 7s? Sorry, Mom. 7s have a monkey in their brain, and your thoughts are moving from vine to vine. As you try to get to know yourselves, how many of you know that this job of getting to know ourselves and loving ourselves is a big job? Now, my friend and author, Alicia Scholey, she recently shared this in a message. She's an author and a speaker. She said, we are in error if we believe that we can grow in love for God while simultaneously growing in hatred of ourselves. You see, there is a connectivity between loving ourselves, loving others, and loving God. And when we are not loving ourselves in agreement with the things that the Bible says about us, like we are forgiven, you are forgiven, amen, I am forgiven. I am a child of the King of Kings. This identity roots us deeper in knowing ourselves and loving ourselves. And if we are caught in self-hatred, then how can we truly love the one that made us? It is important that we learn to love ourselves. Now, in about 1990, in the discipline of leadership, there began to be a lot of research about social interactions, interactions with each other, and even self-awareness and self. When I say self-love, I'm not saying narcissism, okay? You guys know the difference. I'm talking about knowing ourselves, appreciating ourselves, understanding our identity and loving that about ourselves, our identity in Christ and who He made us to be. So, as researchers in the leadership genre began to look in these areas, a new discipline arose called emotional intelligence. And basically what emotional intelligence was looking at is how well, and we have our IQ, which is our intellectual quotient, how smart we are, basically, and then our emotional intelligence, it means our social smartness. How are we at working with people? And what they discovered is people with high emotional intelligence, people that were really good at working with people, usually the foundation of that was self-awareness. Knowing themselves created the foundation for knowing others. And understanding ourselves and knowing how to manage ourselves made us better managers of people. And this, since the 1990s, has just kind of exploded in the leadership community, and there's probably like 5 million books on emotional intelligence, to the point when a manager often goes to hire someone, they will look almost 60% at a person's emotional intelligence, their ability to understand themselves and manage their emotions and other people, even more than competency in their job. Why is this? Missouri State is turning out hundreds of engineers every year, and all of them are competent at the job of engineering. But if you are working in an engineering firm and you have a competent engineer, but somebody that gets angry and walks out of board meetings, that kind of sideways energy costs a company money, right? And so they're looking for people who understand themselves, know how to manage themselves. When I think about emotional intelligence and sometimes our leadership disciplines we find, I think oftentimes researchers just come up on kingdom principles, like emotional intelligence, meaning knowing yourself and knowing others, being able to understand your emotions, loving yourself and loving others is really a kingdom principle. Loving ourselves and loving others, I think potentially the leadership world has caught on to a kingdom principle. So what does this look like as kingdom livers and kingdom dwellers? Proverbs 19:8 says it this way, "Whoever gets sense loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will discover good." I want to get sense, don't you? It's important that we love our own soul. The wonderful thing about it is in the world of emotional intelligence, they will say we need to grow in self-awareness, and they use the word mindfulness, getting to know yourself. But let's see what the psalmist says about getting to know ourselves better and growing in relationship. Psalms 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." You see, this pursuit of knowing ourselves better is not what the world does, which is just finding out by ourselves. We actually invite the Holy Spirit into this process, right? Because the God of the universe who created us actually knows us better than we do. So as we invite him into this process of knowing, and we invite him, say, "Search my heart. Help me understand. Is there a wicked way in me? Show me." We are inviting the Holy Spirit into the relationship of knowing ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, "Examine yourself to see whether you are in faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test?" So we're admonished to examine ourselves and to test ourselves. So we invite the Holy Spirit to search me and try me, and we examine ourselves and test ourselves. Sometimes getting to know ourselves is actually more difficult than getting to know somebody else, isn't it? You actually look at me way more than I look at myself. I do look at a mirror every morning, but you see me more than I see me. And oftentimes we have blind spots that it takes the Holy Spirit to illuminate so that we can truly know ourselves and we can truly love ourselves. So tonight, we are going to talk about how do we grow in relationship with ourselves. I say grow in self and Holy Spirit awareness because it's a different journey than the world has. We are inviting the Holy Spirit to help us know ourselves and love ourselves more thoroughly with the hopes of loving others with that same love and patience and kindness and goodness that we extend to ourselves, and loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, tonight we're going to look at three ways we can do this, and this is not an exhaustive list of ways that we can grow in relationship. These are just a few that the Lord has illuminated in my life, even over the last few years. And what I notice about my own journey in growing in Holy Spirit self-awareness is as the Lord illuminates new parts of my life and allows me to extend new levels of goodness and kindness to my own self, new levels, sometimes it's an awareness of sin in my life that I need to repent of, as he begins to show me, usually he's preparing me for a new level of influence. So as you grow in knowing yourself, be excited about what God has for you as we are growing in loving ourselves and loving others. So our list of three, here we go. We need to grow in awareness of our kingdom identity, our mission, and our purpose. Secondly, we need to grow in awareness of our emotions, and we need to grow in awareness of our spiritual gifts. Let's start with awareness of our kingdom identity. When we look in the Gospel of Luke, you will find the first red letters when Jesus was 12 years old. And if you remember the story, his parents had gone to the temple for their annual sacrifice. And as they left, there was a big caravan. How many of you watched a Home Alone movie? All right, this story is very similar to a Home Alone movie because they had this huge extended family that was headed home after basically this vacation, if you want to call it that. And so probably the cousins were in one place and the adults were in another place, and they get pretty far down their journey and they realize Jesus is not with them. And if you've ever seen those Home Alone movies, there's always this place where the mom like yells, "Kevin!" You guys know? I can just almost picture Mary saying, Jesus, where are you? So they go back. If any of you have lost a child, I remember my mom talks about losing me at Disneyland one time. I'm sure there was some frantic moments on the metro thing above the city trying to find me. If you lose your kid, you're frantic. And I'm sure there was a bit of a franticness as Joseph and Mary went back to find Jesus. So they finally found him, and he is very peaceful in the temple. And just learning, you know, just there. And so they're probably panicking. They may have even shaken him. I don't know, any of you that have little kids, do you, who knows? They might have shaken Jesus. They were, I'm sure, upset. And he looks back with this calm face. He said to them, why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? Other translations say, I must be about my Father's business. You see, Jesus at 12 years old already understood his kingdom identity. And friends, if we want to know ourselves and love ourselves well, we have to understand our kingdom identity. So when Jesus, after he began his ministry many years later, he very rarely went into a city. In fact, there's really no recording of him, you know, going into a city, maybe shaking someone's hand and say, hey, I'm Joseph. You know, my mom, I have this fantastic mom named Mary. Man, she is a good woman. Joseph, he is a carpenter. My dad, and you know, he taught me from the time I was a little boy his carpentry skills. And man, you give me a stick and I could whittle anything. Do we ever see Jesus doing that? No, what does Jesus say about himself? He says, I am, this is just in the Gospel of John. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Even Jesus' name is rooted in his kingdom identity, as the angel gave the name to Mary. How many of you know that we're all going to get a new name? Revelations tells us that our name right now is rooted in our earthly identity. My parents are here. They gave me the name Crystal. It's a fantastic name for a global missionary. I thank them all the time. I'm like, Crystal is so perfect because it actually has a meaning. Like many of the nations, they name people flower and butterfly, and my name is Crystal. It works. It's a fantastic name, but it's rooted in my earthly identity. I'm a teacher. My undergrad degree is in elementary education, and I am a minister. Guess what both of my parents are? Educators and ministers. My goodness, I have followed in these people's steps. But that's not my kingdom identity. You see, someday I will have a new name. And as much as I appreciate my name, I will have a kingdom name. And part of loving and knowing ourselves is digging in deep and understanding our kingdom identity. I am made in the image of God. You formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. I am chosen. I have been pursued. He is the lover of my soul. Friends, in order for us to know and love ourselves, you might work the night shift at Come and Go, or you might be a third grade teacher, or you might be a nurse, but that is not your identity, my friends. You are there to seek and to save the lost. So as much as Jesus knew who he was, he also knew what his mission was, all the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is grieved. But what has he said? Not my will, but your will be done, because Jesus understood his identity and he understood our mission. And friends, if we are going to truly love ourselves, know ourselves, and love others the way God has instructed us to love ourselves, then we must know who we are in our kingdom identity. We must stand in it. We must understand our mission and our purpose outside of our occupation. The next thing we need to grow in is awareness of emotion and awareness of our spiritual gifts. If you'll go to the next slide with the tree, I wanted to show you an image of something I have on the back of my office door. As I began to recognize this need for me to understand my kingdom identity, to understand deeper the ecosystem of my soul. So I call this tree the ecosystem of my soul, and it's a tool that I developed for myself that I'm sharing with you for the first time in a big group like this. So here is a tool that I have been using to help me grow in understanding my emotions and spiritual gifts and the fruits of the Spirit in my life. So if you'll see, everything above the line represents my soul. Everything below the line represents my spirit. That's the part of me that's my God container, that's deeply rooted in Christ. That's the place that I abide in Christ. Now, as I have this tree on the back door of my office, I keep little post-it notes right there. And as I am growing and knowing myself, I have these little post-it notes and I have these word banks next to my tree. And one of the word banks are the fruits of the Spirit. And I begin to pay attention. Sometimes I do this exercise daily, weekly, monthly. It depends on where I am. And I begin to see, okay, what fruits do I see in my life? Do I see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Whoosh. Some days yes, some days no. If I do, I put my little post-it note up and I thank the Lord that as I'm abiding in Him and as He's transforming me from the inside out, that these fruits. Now, if I really want to do a good job, I'll give my little post-it pad to a friend, because what does it say? They will know you by your fruits. Sometimes it's good to see what your friends say about the fruits in your life to really grow in self-awareness. Help you identify your blind spots, but I check out my fruits. And here's the interesting thing. If you see the cloud above my tree, my word bank, my cloud represents my circumstances in my life or potentially spiritual warfare. I usually put my emotions that might impede the fruits that are in my life. And so some of the emotions that I see in my life, sometimes I use the word overwhelmed. I use the word anxious, fatigued, ill, angry, self-conscious. These are words I might put in my cloud that might impede the fruits in my life. And let me tell you why it's important to name your emotions. I found myself for a whole year almost saying every day I was overwhelmed. Can anyone identify with me? We live in a fast-paced world. But what I recognized is that word was so broad, I didn't even know how to figure out what it meant in my own life. And so as I started to break it down, once we began to name our emotions in our life that we're struggling with, then we can combat it with scripture. Because we're not led by emotions, we're led by truth, right? So if I feel anxious and I see the cloud of anxiety coming over me and the fruits of the Spirit could fall off my tree, what do? I go to the scripture. Don't be anxious. As I clothe the lilies of the valley, I will clothe you. As I see the sparrow that will fall off the tree, I see you. And I begin to speak truth to my emotions. Because you see, emotions can help us feel God, but emotions are not God. And it is important that we learn to know ourselves and to speak truth to our emotions. My cloud of circumstance. It's important that we know. Now, I also, as I say, I put fruits of the Spirit on my tree, but it also says that they will know you by your fruits. And there are times, and I'll give you just one example. About 6 months ago, I was praying about one of the ministries that I'm leading, and I had just been praying about direction, and one night I felt the Lord just have me get up, and I found a piece of construction paper and a marker, and I felt like in about a 30-minute period, the Lord downloaded in my heart an entire strategic plan. I just wrote it out. I was like, wow, can I tell you my strategic plan went on my tree? Because I knew I didn't do it by myself. The Holy Spirit, through abiding in Him, had given me a strategic plan. He can do those things as we abide in Him. But here's the thing. When we see these things fall off of our tree, like peace, love, joy, you can't just put it back on, can you? You have to go to your roots. That's why it's important to speak truth over your emotions so that we can regrow the fruit in our life of the Spirit. And lastly, in my tree, you see my little, that cute little bird. That bird represents the gifts of the Spirit I see in my life. I want to grow in self-awareness and knowing myself. And gifts, as you see, I have a little bird here. The gifts of the Spirit are to grow the body of Christ, right? They're not necessarily rooted in my abide time because they are a gift. They're not necessary. So you see, it's not coming off my tree because as in the Old Testament, manna was given daily to take care of the physical needs of the children of Israel. Gifts are given to feed the body of Christ, and they're really not about me. But I covet the gifts of the Spirit in my life to see the body of Christ grow. So as I'm growing in self-awareness, I begin to look at my word banks, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing. What do I see in my life when I come to church every Sunday morning? I say, God, give us the gift of faith. Give us the gift of healing. We need to see people rise up out of illness, the gifts of the Spirit. Let's pay attention to the way God is using us in the gifts of the Spirit. This is a way, as we grow in Holy Spirit awareness, these three things, like I said, there's many more, but we need to grow in our awareness of kingdom identity, our mission, and our purpose. We need to grow in awareness of our emotions, and we need to grow in awareness of the spiritual gifts, how God is using us. You see, Paul and Jesus, as I mentioned, he would often give his pedigree. You know, he's a Roman of Romans. He studied at the Harvard of his time. He was well educated, but he would always say that this means nothing to me. But in Romans 11:13, he says, I am talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch I am an apostle to the Gentiles. So he's talking about his kingdom identity. I take pride in my ministry. My friends, as God has called us to love the world, love our neighbor as ourself, and love our God deeply, it is very important that we understand. And can I tell you, I believe this is a strong attack of Satan on our life, bringing self-hatred into the people of God, bringing anxiety that is overwhelming our emotions, bringing hurt and pain that is rendering us impotent in his kingdom. It is important that we begin to know and see and ask God to illuminate who we are and who we are in relationship with him. As I close tonight, I'm going to read an excerpt from my journal. And I wrote this just not very long ago. And I basically just wrote out a mission statement, a purpose statement about myself. But I work to use kingdom identity words. So oftentimes when people ask, Crystal, you know, who are you? What do you do? I'll talk about my jobs. I'll say, we talk about our job titles. Sometimes when we ask who you are, we'll say, talk about our kids or our spouse or how we fit in family. But I work to write who I am and what I do using kingdom language. And I want to read that to you as our worship team comes. After I read that to you, I'm going to have us just stand up. We're going to pray because I believe that as we get the picture of God's love for us, that we are made in his image and our identity we have in him, we are going to start recognizing how important we are to his kingdom, how valued. And God is going to give us the boldness and the courage to grow in self-Holy Spirit awareness. Here's my 3-minute elevator speech of who I am in Christ. Crystal Martin, I am made in the image of God. Through Jesus, I am a daughter of the Most High God, the King of Kings. I speak with a prophetic voice calling this generation to the nations. I am gifted to lead, establishing goals and objectives and motivating others to follow. I am a pastor, shepherding God's flock to maturity and Christ-likeness. I often flow in the gift of exhortation, coming alongside others to become all God has created them to be. I am growing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I am a loved daughter of the Most High God. My friends, I think the Lord wants to teach us how much he loves us and how much we need to know and really love the God stamp he has on each of us. As we close tonight, if you'll just stand with me.